नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 14।
दिस इज रोज है ना।
I'll just read word to word translation. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace La S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Parikshit, when King Rahuguna chastised the exalted devotee Jadabharat with harsh words, that peaceful, saintly person tolerated it all and replied properly. Nescience is due to the bodily conception, and Jadabharat was not affected by this false conception. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee, and he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. Thinking in this way, he began to carry the palanquin as before. Purport. An exalted devotee of the Lord never thinks that he is a paramahamsa or a liberated person. He always remains a humble servant of the Lord. In all reverse conditions, he agrees to suffer the results of his past life. He never accuses the Lord of putting him into a distressed condition. These are the sign of an exalted devotee. Tattenu kampan susimikshamanaha. When suffering reverse conditions, the devotee always considers that the reverse conditions are the Lord's concession. He is never angry with his master. He is always satisfied with the position his master offers. In any case, he continues performing his duty in devotional service. Such a person is guaranteed promotion back home, back to Godhead, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. Tatte nukampam susumikshamano bhunjanaye vatmakrutam vipakam hrudbhagavapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, one who constantly waits for your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon him and who goes on suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds, offering your respectful obeisances from the core of his heart, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Hare Krishna. So today's topic is contrary to my nature, son, humility. So please I beg blessings from Srinir Vaishnava, all Vaishnavas, so that I can speak something that is useful to all of us. So once Dronacharya, he is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj, he is giving assignments as Guru. Is giving assignments to Yudhishthira Maharaj as well as Duryodhan. He is asking Yudhishthira Maharaj to go out and find a person who is inferior to him. And he is also giving another assignment to Duryodhan. So asking him, find a person who is superior to you. Both of them go and they come back after some time. And both of them answered same thing. Say none. They could not find anyone. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he could not find anyone inferior to him. That means he found himself to be most inferior person in the whole, all of society. And Duryodhan, he could not find anybody superior to him. That means he considered himself to be the topmost personality. So in this example, we can see Yudhishthira Maharaj, because he only saw good in other people, All he could see is the good qualities in people. And therefore, he could not find anything fault with them. He could not find any fault. Therefore, he thought this person is better than me, whoever he met. Similarly, Duryodhan, all he saw was, you know, faults with people. He could not see any good qualities in all of these people. All he saw is the faults. Therefore, he thought he is better, superior. So in this way, a person who is naturally humble, he finds good things in people. And he finds himself to be lower than themselves. And because he thinks himself to be lower than these people, therefore his opportunity to improve himself actually opens up. He has more opportunity to refine himself, to progress. Whereas a person, if he thinks he already knows, if he thinks he is already a best person, then he closes all the gates for him to improve. So Duryodhan, because he is popped up, he thinks he is the best person, therefore there is no scope for him to become a better person. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj is already a good person, but because he thinks himself to be low, therefore he has more opportunities to become refined. We can see when Srila Prabhupada is distributing books in the streets of Delhi, he was distributing this back to Godhead pamphlets. And one day somebody is coming to him and telling him, why are you giving these small newsletters? People just read it and throw it away, or, you know, just place it, misplace here and there. Rather you write books, which people will keep it as a part of their asset, study them and understand what you are trying to propagate. So Prabhupada, he was already a great learned scholar. He has done so much, he's a sannyasi. Somebody advising him, maybe something little kind of insulting also. But because he was humble, he immediately thought, my Guru Maharaj is speaking through this person. Therefore, because of that humble quality, he took up that instructions and started writing books. In this way, you can see, pride blocks one's progress, whereas humility helps a person to grow in a spiritual life, in any life, especially spiritual life. So therefore, especially devotees who are in sadhana bhakti situations like myself, conditional stage, it is very much necessary to cultivate this quality of humility, because ultimately it will allow us to grow and become perfect in spiritual life. Even in a perfectional stage, one does not shed off this quality of humility. Even in perfectional stage, the humility becomes more mature and humility also becomes perfect. And one does not give it up. Rather, by this quality, one's relationship with Lord becomes more and more relishable. So, you know, Jesus Christ also says, one who's first in one who's last is first in the eyes of the Lord. And one who is first is the last in the eyes of the Lord. So humility also attracts Lord's mercy. So we'll see in many of our acharyas in Gaudiya Sampradaya Parampara, they exhibit this quality to the maximum extent. And one such incident I would like to narrate here is that of meeting up Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami with Lord Chaitanya. Their first meeting with Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya, he is already a sannyasi and is travelling from Jagannath Puri to West Bengal. And actually, later he admits or tells these two personalities, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, that actually I have no purpose to come to Bengal. I have nothing to do here. But just to meet both of you, I have come here. So this humility of these two personalities actually attracts the Lord all the way from, you know, releasing his pastime in Jagannath Puri to a place called Ramkeli, which is practically unknown. Neither it is a holy place. Lord Chaitanya actually travels all over India to holy places, but this place, he just goes to meet these two personalities. And Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami used to write letters to Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And in those letters, their humility was exhibited. And that humility attracted Lord to come all the way to Ramkeli. So the news reached wherever Lord Chaitanya go, many people would follow. So there are hundreds and thousands of people following him. So the news reached to the king, and king asking Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, who is this person? And they are explaining, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they ask the king that you think in your own heart about this person and you can understand who is he. Then he says, yes, he is the God. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the same day, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they are known as Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik. Dabir Khas is Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami is Sakar Malik. They went out of their house incognito to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they are wearing very simple dress, like a mendicant. And they went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First they met Sri Haridas Thakur and I think Nityananda Prabhu. I don't remember. So they approached Lord Chaitanya through his devotees. And these devotees, they informed Lord Chaitanya that Rupa Goswami, Davir Khash and Sakar Malik has come to see you. Then Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I want to see them. And as soon as these two persons saw Lord Chaitanya, they immediately offered their full dandavats, putting straws in their mouth and some cloth wrapped around their neck, as if kind of animals, feeling lowly and paying dandavat to the Lord. And there, this verse says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Dainyarodhana kare anandevi bhala Prabhu kahe utha utha hoila mangala. Dainya rodana kare. Dainya means humility actually. Dainya means the deepest humility one can think of. Feeling very lowly. Dina means a wretched person, a poor person. So Dainya means one who is very, very humble, feeling very humble. And rodana kare means they're crying incessant tears. But at the same time, they're feeling great ecstasy in their heart. Ananda vivala. That means they're feeling their position as low when they see the Lord. But at the same time, because they're meeting the Lord, they're in complete ecstasy. Ananda. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw them in that state, they said, please get up, please get up. Utha, utha. All auspiciousness will be upon all of you. He's like kind of blessing. And these two devotees are again and again paying the dandavats and trying to offer their prayer to the Lord. What is their prayer? Prayer is basically twofold. First, they are trying to glorify the Lord. And second, they present their fallen situation. So this is a kind of standard prayer where devotees, he sees himself as very fallen, and he sees the Lord as the supremest, highest personality. So this is how they are explaining the situation. And they are saying, because we are most fallen, and because you are the most strongest personality, therefore it's only you who can save us. Just like if a person is drowning in an ocean, or in maybe Mananganga, somebody is drowning, only one who knows swimming and one who knows the technique of saving a person, he can only save. Just by knowing swimming, one cannot help each other. It is dangerous. They say, we are drowning and we are the most strong person. and you have all the abilities to save us. Therefore, it's you who is befitting to save us. In this way, they are saying, Patitta Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially incarnated to save the fallen souls. There are many avatars, guna avatars, Purusha Lila avatars. Each avatar has a certain purpose. In this, one of the purposes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent is to save the fallen souls. Especially nowadays, practically everyone is a fallen soul. So he is especially taking up these tasks of saving the fallen souls. And they are saying, you have come, you have descended to save the fallen people, then we are the most fallen people, and it is your kind of duty that you must save us. And they are saying, there is nobody who is more fallen than us. And while saying this, they are extending one example. The example of Jagai and Madhai. Actually, when we read about Jagai Madhai's characters, I feel at least I am not that bad. You know, they are like, you know, drinking and, you know, meat eating and so many things. We may prone to think that, okay, they are so bad, at least I am not that bad. But here, Rupa Goswami, Santan Goswami, they are such learned people. They are explaining that actually you are more fallen than Jagai and Madhai. And in the process, they are not only saying we are more fallen, they are also glorifying Jagai and Madhai. That is, they are seeing good qualities in Jagai and Madhai. So this is the, you know, humility is completely mature. So they say that how they are comparing themselves with these two personalities, Jagai Madhai. They say, Brahmana Jati Tara. These two persons are born in Brahmana families. It takes a lot of pious credit actually to take birth in a Brahmana family. Unless one has good karma, that opportunity doesn't come. Because in that state, consciousness is very high, and one can understand spiritual subject matter. So after many, many births, one gets a chance to take birth in a high Brahmana families. They are saying, they are born in Brahmana families. And while they introduce themselves, they say, we are Nitya Jati Moro. All the Prabhupada explains, these Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were actually born in a South Indian, you know, of South Indian descent. They are Saraswati Brahmins from Karnataka. Still, because they have associated with the Muslims, the Mlechas, therefore, they consider their caste is almost lost. Then, they say, these two persons, Jagai and Madhai, they are born in holy place, Navadvipe. Holy place means a dham. So they are saying, they are born in dham because you are the master of dham, therefore, these are your people, you know, your men, dhambasi. So they have this good credit of taking birth in a holy place. Then they say, Nitya seva nahi kare. They have not worked under anybody who is a fallen person or fallen from Vedic principles. So although Jagai Madhai were sinful, they never worked under anyone who is sinful. So that they say is a big qualifications. And in the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how as soon as a person accepts a master to serve, he is as good as a dog. Because a dog cannot thrive without a master. And sometimes dog barks at innocent people just to please the master. This is what Prabhupada is writing in the purport. Dog barks at innocent people just to please the master. Similarly, those who work under a sinful persons, Sometimes they commit sinful activities and offenses just to please the master. So therefore they are saying, these two persons, they are not offenders. They have not committed any offense to Vaishnavas in that sense, because they never accepted any master. But we, Nitya Seva, we did service to the Mlechhas, the meat eaters, one who maintained slaughterhouses, kind of slaughterhouses, never followed any Vedic principles. So we served these people. Therefore, although we know the purpose, they try to, you know, protect Vaishnavas, things like that, they are taking that humble position. They are saying, we serve such masters. And Prabhupada says, Prabhupada doesn't speak of Rupa Goswami and Santana Goswami in the purport. Rather, he says about the so-called Brahmanas who serve today's government and the people who are in power, because they are irreligious. Sometimes some bills come in the parliament or places like that, and they are all irreligious. So the bill comes, they pass it, and the Brahmanas who are administrators, they are serving this government, they have to implement these bills in the society. So to maintain slaughterhouse or, you know, prostitution or, you know, gambling, so many things. So they are Brahmanas only in namesake. They have lost all their good credit just by serving this kind of sinful persons. So therefore, they are finding out these good qualities in Jagai and Madhai, saying they never commit any offense because they don't have to please any master. And because they are born in good families, because of little bad association, they have become sinful. And just by chanting of the holy name, your holy name, just by Namavas, we can see that they are liberated. So on your part, you didn't have to put any, you know, any massive effort just to rescue these two persons, Jagai and Madhai. Only fault is that they are papachara. They committed some sins because of some bad associations. And this can be easily overcome by the Namabhas. So actually you don't have to put any special effort to protect them. So in this way, they are glorifying Jagai and Madhai, but they themselves, they are putting themselves below Jagai and Madhai, saying how sinful we are. No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us, they are saying. Because we are so sinful, no one within the three worlds can actually save us. There is no other object of your mercy but us. Your mercy is most super successful when applied to us. That's what they are saying. Your mercy will be successful if you apply it on us. Otherwise, what is the use of your mercy? So in this way, they're presenting their situation, such a fallen situation. They're saying, we are like dwarf trying to capture the moon, not just touching the moon. We're trying to capture the moon. And because you are very merciful, therefore, it's only you who can save us. In this way, they're praying to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, glorifying him and trying to explain their own fallen situation. So when the Lord heard all these prayers, he said, please stop. Your humility is breaking my heart, he says. It's like shattering my heart. Stop your humble prayers. And in this way, he stopped them and then he initiated them. He said, now onwards your names will be Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. Rupa and Sanatan. And he says, there is no need to worry. You are my eternal associates. So although they are saying Jagai Madhai are Dhambasi and they are your men, actually these two persons are Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eternal associate. But when they present others, they say, these are Dhambasi and we are like born in some different place, Nicha Jati and so many things. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells them, you are actually my eternal associate. And now onwards your name will be Rupa and Sanatan. In this way he initiates and he lives. But their humility does not stop there. Just because they are initiated, just because the Lord has purified them of so-called sins, they don't think that they are now purified and everything is over. Because the moment one thinks like that, the pride creeps in. And as soon as the pride comes, all the doors again close for progress. There cannot be any progress. So because their acharyas, in their all life, they are exhibiting how their humility is displayed over and over again, all throughout their life. So therefore, when they meet Lord Chaitanya again, their humility was still intact. We can see, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they never entered Gambhira while they were in Jagannath Puri. What to speak of Jagannath Temple? They didn't even enter Gambhira to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They always felt not qualified to go to that intimate circle of association. So in this way, even in a perfectional stage, we can see this humility has to be automatically displayed by the devotees of the Lord. And in this way, they attract the attention and mercy of the Lord. And when Sanatana Goswami met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Varanasi or Prayag? Varanasi. Prayag. So he met in Varanasi. So then again he is presenting himself and saying how lowly he is. He says, people call me Pandita, that is a learned scholar. Actually he was a very great learned scholar. He knew many of the Shastras, he knew so many languages, so many this Middle East languages he knew. But still, he says, people call me Pandita and I accept it. But I do not know who I am. And why am I suffering? So, a person, as he exhibits humility, his knowledge is also increases. And because of this humility, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is disclosing all the secret knowledge of the Shastras to this person. He is saying, we are eternal servant of the Lord, things like that. The teachings comes out. So when the Lord sees humility, he gives his blessings and he bestows and reveals all the confidential knowledge of the Shastras to a devotee. Just like we can see also in Arjun, when he displayed his humility, Lord Krishna immediately spoke the Bhagavad Gita. Till the point he was not displaying the humility, that particular character, the knowledge was not revealed to him. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj, because of his humility, Sukadev Goswami never spoke in any public place till that time. He was just roaming in different places. But seeing the humility and surrender of Parikshit Maharaj, he sat there. Normally he would not stay even for few minutes, what to speak of hours, at a place. But that place, he sat for 7 days, complete 7 days, speaking the nectar of Krishna Katha to Parikshit Maharaj. Because he saw that qualification of humility. So without this qualification, one cannot attract the mercy of the Lord, neither one can have access to the confidential knowledge of spiritual science. Also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna speaks, while speaking about the 20 items of knowledge in 13th chapter, the first item he speaks is Amanitvam. Amanityam Adamitvam Ahimsa Arjavam, like that, all these qualities he is speaking of. The first is Amanitvam. Amanityam means one who does not have any mana. Mana means does not expect any respect. Prabhupada is writing the definition, Amanityam. He says, one who is not anxious to get respect from others. Something like that. One who is not anxious to become satisfied by receiving respect from others. Just like when I am preparing this class, I may be a little anxious whether devotees would appreciate it or not. devotee would be satisfied or not, things like that. So he says, one who is actually humble is not anxious to get any reward or respect in his endeavor and feel satisfied with that. That kind of satisfaction he doesn't hanker for. Why? Because he is not in bodily concept of life. Because he is not in the bodily concept of life, therefore, whether appreciation or criticisms, whether there is respect or disrespect, this thing doesn't matter to him. Just like Jada Bharat in this example. Because he was not in the bodily concept of life, all these chastisement or things like that, which is related to the bodily platform, did not affect him. So that means humility automatically leads one person to knowledge that he is not this body. And in that state, one automatically does not expect any rewards and respect from others. Whereas, he is ready to offer everything to others. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sings in his Shikshashtak prayers, Tranadapi sunichena tararapi sahishnuna amanena manadena kirtanya sadahari. That one is ready to offer all the respects to other and return doesn't expect anything. So that is humility. And humility helps one to grow his knowledge. Just like an egoistic person, as soon as he knows something, immediately he says, yes, I know. And as soon as he says, I know, that means he doesn't have to know anything more. And his knowledge is limited. But a devotee or a humble person, he always sees how less he knows. How less I know. That is his attitude. How much ignorance I am in. Just like Rupan Santan Goswami, how fallen we are. Similarly, a devotee is conscious in how much darkness he is. And the more he appreciates Lord's position, the more he understands how fallen he is. Therefore, the acharyas, when they say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings Gopinath, and he's saying how I am lusty and I have this propensity, that propensity. He is a pure person, definitely, there is no doubt. But because he understands Lord's position is so high, and while seeing that, he thinks that he is quite low. Or even in mundane example, we see those who actually go after knowledge, they are very conscious how less they know. Just like Newton, Isaac Newton, he says, in this vast beach of an ocean, there are only few grains of sand which I have collected. And he has discovered, he has contributed so much to the world of physics, knowledge of physics. Still he is one who is saying, I have just collected few grains from this vast beach of the ocean. That means, as his knowledge grew, he became conscious how less he knows. And that will allow a person to grow. Similarly, a devotee is always conscious, and this consciousness of being low is actually become more and more prominent as he progresses in spiritual life. Therefore, a devotee, even in a perfectional stage, has this natural humility, because he is aware that he is a small spark compared to Krishna. So one devotee, he asked Srila Prabhupada, if Krishna is achintya, if he is so high, then why are you writing so many books on him and so many books about Krishna? But ultimately he is achintya, he is such a great personality that we cannot know him. And Prabhupada is saying, these books will help you to understand why Krishna is achintya. That means this book will help us to understand and appreciate our fallen low state compared to the Lord. So humility helps one to become aware of his ignorance and helps one to come out of that ignorance by attracting Lord's mercy, and Lord also reveals the knowledge to such a person. But as soon as a person thinks, I know, that means his knowledge stops there. Of course, until such pride is smashed by the inconceivable arrangement of the Lord. Sometimes people may think he knows, But that concept, that knowledge, that pride is smashed in due course of time. Just like in one example I'll give. In the field of science, when they started understanding the matter in a more subtle way, they thought that atoms are the last particle that is that can be perceived, and that is the building block basically. Everything is made out of atoms. And they gave the name atoms because they thought it is indivisible. So atom literally means unbreakable, indivisible. And that was the knowledge. This is, we know everything now. This is atom and it is unbreakable. But within few decades, it was found that it is actually breakable. So when they broke it, they got so many things. So the theory changes. Their pride is smashed. Again, they found some particles inside. They call it proton, electrons and things like that. The proton actually means, comes from the word proto. Proto means first. Prototype, they say, you know. Some kind of new discovery, this is a prototype. This is the first particle, so the most fundamental particle, and this is it. Again, they thought like that. But again, within few years, they found out that this is also breakable. And they became humbled. The more particles, finer particle they got now, they didn't name it non-breakable, things like that. They gave it very strange, abstract names, like, top, bottom, charm, things like that, which has no exact meaning in related to their knowledge. So in this way, as this knowledge, the pride is smashed, people become automatically humble. So material nature knows how to take care of the pride and make people humble, so that actually ultimately it is help them to become Krishna conscious. And in fact, many scientists, they came to the churches, to the God, they tried to study Upanishads, just because their pride was getting smashed every now and then, in the early part of the 20th century. So in this way, we can see, better to become humble and open our heart to the blessings of the Lord. And in this way, we can actually achieve the true knowledge. So humility helps one in this way to become knowledgeable. And when one is knowledgeable, he'll be able to tolerate the threefold miseries of this world. So in this verse, we see that how Jada Bharat is tolerating all these chastisements and things like that. And he's thinking that all this I'm getting in these verses because of his natural humility, very nicely Prabhupada's writing. Out of his natural humility, he never considered himself a great devotee. And he agreed to suffer the results of his past karma. So they think it's just a matter of past karma and I'm getting purified. Like an ordinary man, he thought that by carrying the palanquin, he was destroying the reactions of his past misdeeds. So devotee, in this way, he can actually tolerate the miseries of this world. No one can avoid the miseries of this world. Because this world by nature is Dukhalaya Masaswatam. It's a place or abode of miseries. Nobody can say that I don't face miseries. It's impossible. He may be a millionaire or he may be a beggar on the streets. But a beggar on the street is apparent. But a millionaire also suffers because just like in a rainy season, one cannot avoid being getting wet. Similarly, in the abode of miseries, nobody can escape miseries. So there may be people may be trying to solve it this way or that way. One problem is solved, few more problems will come up. Therefore, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita and many places, he says how one can actually solve these problems of miseries. That is by tolerating it, knowing that these miseries are temporary. So, by humility, one comes to knowledge. And from knowledge, also he gets Lord's mercy and is able to appreciate Lord's mercy. And because he is able to appreciate Lord's mercy, therefore he is able to tolerate. And in that state, he never complains about his fallen situation or his sufferings. Especially, he never complains about his sufferings. Like we see an example of Prahlad Maharaj, he suffered so much. As a 5-year-old child, he is suffering so much. But still, he is not complaining to Lord Narasimhadev or to Lord Krishna. In fact, they thank the Lord for reducing the burden of miseries. They think whatever I am getting is a concession. It's a rebate kind of In fact, Kunti Maharani says such problems should come more and more so that we can remember you more and more. That means, at that stage, they relish the relationship of the Lord. Therefore, they can actually overcome these sufferings of this material world. So in this we can see how Jada Bharat, he is going through so much miseries, but he is not affected because of his natural humility. So thank you very much for hearing. Are there any comments? Questions, bro? Any comments? Any mistakes, please? Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. It I got